How could this be? How could she understand the language of that otherworldly plane of existence? Her gaze went to her magically brightened hand, to the ruby ring. She had thought it a simple ring of fire protection, a fairly common item, but no, she knew now. No, this ring's enchantment went far deeper, was far older and many times more powerful. And it was a magic that had to be unlocked for the wielder to prove herself worthy. And Catti Bree had done so by destroying an elemental from the opposing plane, an elemental of water. Now, with its magic fully engaged, this ring attuned Catti Bree to the plane of fire, and that magical connection deciphered the primordial's call. And through this ring, she could call back to it. Her firewall came down then, the magic expired. But still some small flames burned, for they had caught the webbing, layer and layer stripped away as tiny flames sparked and climbed. Movement turned her gaze to the right, to the jade spider as it turned to her. Movement to the left showed her a second spider, similarly turning to face her. "They are mine," came a voice directly above and in front of her, and Catti Bree looked up to see a last layer of webbing burn aside to reveal a woman. An elf woman, hanging there, her arms outstretched, her raven hair, shot with red streaks so similar to the altar stone, braided in a single line atop her head, and her face was marked with a multitude of blue dots. As she smiled and whispered the name of Catti Bree, those dots seemed to shift and join into an image. A spider. The newcomer drove her arms forward, and the pole from which she was hanging broke in half over her back. She dropped to the floor to land gracefully, half the metal pole in each hand, and she snapped her wrists suddenly, violently, and each of those poles became two, joined by a length of cord, became a flail, and the woman put the weapon into a spin. "Catti Bree," she said again, wickedly, and she laughed. She turned her head left and right and called to the jade spiders. "Come, my pets." And they did. And Catti Bree, her magic all but exhausted, stood with her back to the primordial pit. Chapter 26. Proxy War. Drizzt and Intrary moved swiftly along the tunnel in short bursts, one darting to the next position at a bend or corner, then motioning the other to run past to the next. They passed the backside of the lava-made tunnel to the primordial chamber, to find that it had been sealed by the drow, by a wall of iron with some new masonry work securing it. Drizzt paused there, staring at the new wall, thinking of this and the mithril door with its new adamantine jamb. The dark elves were protecting the primordial pit. They had taken this place as their home. Drizzt knew this area of the complex fairly well, and he turned around to peer into the continuing tunnel on the other side of the corridor he and Intrary now traversed. He had battled a drow mage down there, along with the wizard's pet magma beast, which had carved these tunnels. From that mage, Drizzt had looted the ruby ring he had recently given to Catti Bree. He waved Intrary past the opening of the lava tunnel, knowing it to be a dead end. On they ran, leapfrogging past each other with practiced skill, and soon came to the entrance to a downward-sloping tunnel, wide and smooth and recently worked, including grooves from and for the metal wheels of laden ore carts. Down they ran for many strides, now side by side, for the tunnel was wide and straight with nowhere to hide. They came to a wide intersection, one passage forking left and down, the corridor continuing straight ahead, and a third passage breaking perpendicularly to the right. Unlike the other two, this third corridor was not descending. Drizzt motioned for Intrary to hold this position, then started away to the right. The tunnel opened left and right into alcoves. Mining stations, Drizzt realized, seeing the picks and shovels and empty shackles staked to the stone. "They've taken their prisoners with them," Intrary remarked, catching up to Drizzt in the culminating chamber of the wing, where three separate sets of shackles sat on the stone, mining tools beside them. Drizzt led the way back in full run and turned down the main, central corridor and ran on for a long way. They found more side tunnels, more empty mining stations, and then a gruesome discovery. A pair of slain humans, very recently cut down where they worked. The drow have gone deeper, Entreri reasoned. We'll find no living slaves. Drizzt wanted to argue, but the reasoning was sound. They were far below the level of the forge already, and the tunnel before them sloped more steeply and would soon open into the deeper underdark. We have to return, Entreri said, or started to, but Drizzt held up his hand for silence. Entreri looked at him curiously. Drizzt moved over and put his ear against the stone wall, then pointed to that side. The other passageway, he whispered. As he neared the wall, Entreri too heard the rhythmic tapping of a pick against stone. In their hasty retreat, the Dark Elves hadn't cleared all of their slaves, apparently. The pair ran back up to the four-way intersection and broke to their right to the far fork. This one went on for some ways before they encountered any mining stations, but as they neared the initial one, they clearly heard the slave at work. It was a woman, a human. She shrank back as they neared, covering defensively. From Port Last, Entreri said, moving for the shackle and working fast to open the rudimentary lock. He looked at the woman. We're here to free you, he said. And even as he finished, he pulled the shackle from her ankle. Where is Dahlia? A woman wore a confused expression. The elf woman, Entreri explained, his voice growing more insistent, more frantic. She carried a metal staff. She was with me in Port Last. Where is Dahlia?
There are others,
the woman answered and swallowed hard, clearly intimidated. She motioned down the tunnel. Wait here. Drizzt bade her, and he and Entreri rushed off. Within a few moments, a bedraggled man limped up to join the woman, then a third miner limped into the room. Drizzt and Entreri found just a few alcoves in this area, and soon broke out into another wide descending tunnel. And it seemed as if there were no more workstations to be found, for this place, much like the center tunnel, dived more steeply now. Drizzt motioned for Entreri to turn back. But the assassin sprinted out ahead anyway, his eyes peering through the gloom. Dahlia! He called softly. Drizzt moved up beside him and put a hand on his shoulder to steady him. We have to go, he said. We cannot pursue a drow army.